We'll pray. Our Father, we would just come into thy presence and we would ask for help tonight. And we just pray for guidance as to what to say, and we just pray that we would be able to be used by thyself. And we would just ultimately pray that whatever takes place up here, we would just pray for those in the audience. Those that are not saved, and we just pray that that would reach them. We have confidence in this. We thank thee that it's the power of God, and so it's not left up to us. But at the same time, we would just give thanks for the opportunity to be able to share in the gospel. So we would just look to thee for blessing here tonight, giving thanks now in his name. Amen. I would like to thank each one that's out. It's a little bit smaller tonight, I guess. But I was just thinking, I spent quite a few years every Friday night going down to Montague a few years ago, speaking on the Friday night. And a lot of times there's only two people there, and a lot of times 50% of the audience was asleep. So this isn't going to be too bad at all. We'd just like to thank each one for coming. So we're going to begin by reading in Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. And we'll read verse 24. It's verse 26 that I'm looking at, but we'll read verse 24 through to verse 26. It says, "For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place, every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world." So get this phrase, "But now once, in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." Now once, in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Now we're going to go back to Matthew's Gospel and chapter 23. And verse 37, Matthew 23 and verse 37. "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate, for I say unto you, shall not see me henceforth till ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." Now we'll read one more, and that's over in Revelation 14. We might actually read one more after that, taking the same thought in mind from it. Revelation 14, and we'll read verse 9. "And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, If any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest, day nor night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name." Now back to Ecclesiastes, and the last chapter in that book, chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And verse 5. It's the second last phrase. I'm just going to read that phrase. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 5, second last phrase. It says, "Because man goeth to his long home." Man goeth to his long home. Now that's all that we're going to read. And I know I used these verses before and spoke on this before. I don't know if it was here or not. And I did have something else in mind, but it shifted back to this. So hopefully it's a blessing to each one. We read just three simple thoughts that I want to get across tonight. Hopefully they stick. They're simple enough to remember, I think. And the idea is in Hebrews chapter 9, the first one is something that happened once. Okay, so just something that happened once. And then the second thought from Matthew is something that happens often. And then the last one from these two verses we read, it's something that is ongoing. Okay, so once, often, and ongoing. Okay, so hopefully you can at least remember that if you don't remember anything else that I say. What we read in Hebrews chapter 9 is it's the greatest event that ever took place in human history. You say, well, what's that event? Well, we read about it. It's the event that took place at Calvary where the Lord Jesus, he laid his own life down and became a sacrifice for sins. The other verse that I was thinking of reading tonight, and what was originally on my mind, was John chapter 3 and verse 16. And all through the scriptures, that would be one of them, but there are many verses that we could go to where it displays and describes very well God's intervention. And in thinking about John chapter 3, verse 16, what kind of amazed me is I tried to just take a step back, step outside the verse, and if we were just looking at that with no idea of the gospel, and we had two sides to the story, on one side we have God, and so one side who is completely righteous, one side who absolutely hates, detests sin, and can't put up with sin, and who has such great love, righteous, and on the other side we have man, full of sin. And actually, I don't know how long it was that they were in the garden, but it wasn't very long. God placed them there, and what happened? Man disobeyed God. Simple laws, simple, just a very simple request from God. He said, I will allow you to take of every tree of the garden, but there's one not to take of. And it wasn't very long, and man disobeyed him. Things didn't get better. Man didn't learn from that. Things actually got increasingly worse. Down to our day, where almost anything goes. And humanity, who is so full of sin, not only that, with so much hatred towards God, and so much hatred towards his son. So now, this is where it was kind of amazing just to step outside it, and here's God on one side in all of his righteousness and his love, and man on this side in all of their sin and their hatred. Now, you're going to have to kind of use your imagination, but if you had a story and these two sides, these two opposing sides, let's suppose there's a king, and there's some subjects in his kingdom, and that's what describes them, this king who is righteous, and these subjects who are full of hatred towards him. I want you to write the rest of the story, okay? We're going to go to the story, what actually happened, but I want you to write the rest of the story and what you think tonight would be the logical outcome. Maybe in your mind, again, step outside what we actually know. You say, well, the logical outcome is that king would probably go and he'd destroy them. He wouldn't give them any chance. And actually, we could go further. These subjects, they were given chance after chance after chance to turn, and they never turned. We'd say, well, the logical outcome is that that king would go and he'd destroy them. Actually, do you know what? There was a story told once in Matthew chapter 21 by the Lord Jesus himself. He was speaking to the religious leaders, and he said to them, suppose that there was a vineyard, and there was a man that lent it out to husbandmen or lent it out to people to look after it and to produce fruit in it. And then the time came for this man who owned the vineyard to send out his servants and to collect the fruit from that vineyard. And one by one, as he sent his servants out, those husbandmen, those ones that were to look after it, they killed them, one after another. So finally, he sent his son. And his thought was, surely they will reverence him. Surely they'll respect him because he's my son. That's not what happened. Those men actually took the man's son and killed him. Then the Lord Jesus turns to these men that he's telling the story to, and he says, what do you think would be the logical outcome? And they, without even hardly giving it a second, they said the logical outcome is that he would take those men and he would destroy them. That makes sense to us. The gospel is while it is something that makes sense and while it is logical, it amazes us because it's not something, if we were writing the story, we wouldn't have written it this way. God's the one who wrote the story. While mankind is so full of sin, God was full of love to the extent that he would send his own son. That's the event that happened once. The Lord Jesus came all the way to heaven because the love in his heart was so great, even though mankind was full of hatred towards him, they displayed it at Calvary. He went and he laid his own life down. Now the Lord Jesus, he was one who was perfect. He had no sin of his own. And he was going there in the place of sinners. That's the event that happened. God intervened, but not in the way that we would naturally think that someone should. He intervened in love. This is an event tonight that is of, I have to say it this way, there's no event that is any more important than this one. It's actually an event that is incomparable to anything else. It's an event tonight that you can't afford to miss. Even though it's an event that is that important, and it's an event that is incomparable with anything else that has ever happened in this world. You know, I'm looking around at some, and you've heard this for so long, and we'll get to that. You have heard this for so long. I'm looking at exactly my next point. I'm looking around at some people here tonight who are sitting there just completely indifferent. You come here Sunday after Sunday. Sometimes special gospel meetings come along and you'll come and you'll sit for weeks and you'll listen to the gospel. I don't know how many weeks ago it was. It was a pretty big event on PEI. I think there was actually people drove here. I don't know how far away it was. It was kind of mind-boggling, actually, they drive that far. Thankfully, when I was going, whatever way I was going on the highway, they were going the other way. And at the end of it all, I was going this way and they were going that way. I was really thankful for that because I wanted to get home. It was the eclipse. There were people came from all over. I had heard that there was a number had traveled from out of province. That event was not something that happened once. It's happened before, but people saw it as something that was that important. They'd take the day off work. They'd pay our high bridge fare to get back home. They'd put gas in their vehicle. They'd go through all that headache to basically just see the sun go black. And everybody would sit there with these glasses on. It was pretty significant to them. Now, do you know what would have been kind of funny if I would have gone up to them and I would have said, is this really that important that you would give up all this other? Well, yes, of course, this is very important. This is something that's only going to happen once. These people that it meant so much to, what if I said to them, well, I can't really go because I got married actually the other day and so I can't go. Well, do you know what they'd probably say? They'd likely say, well, take your wife along. She's probably going to want to see it too. Very possible. Suppose I were to say to them, well, no, I'm not going to go and see it because I actually bought some land yesterday and I'm going to go and see that instead. Well, you'd say, well, the land's going to be there tomorrow. You can go and see the eclipse. It's only going to happen just probably once in your lifetime, maybe, or once every few years. Or if I said to them, well, no, I'm not going to go because I have the car now. I bought the car. And so I'm going to go and take it for a drive. That person would probably say to me, well, you already bought the car. That can wait till tomorrow. Again, we can go to the scriptures. There was a supper that was provided for people. Tremendous event. And those are the exact excuses that were given. One person said, I've married a wife, I can't come. Another said that he bought a piece of land. Another had bought some oxen. He had to go and prove them. They gave up something that was so great for something that really didn't matter. And just as a side note, just looked at those excuses before. It was quite a few years ago when I had noticed it. It seems like the others, the land and the oxen, I don't know if this is the case, but it seemed like there might have been a little bit of flexibility there. But when it came to the personal relationship, do you know what happened? They just said, I've married a wife, I can't come. Do you know what that tells me? It tells me that there's a huge hold when it comes to personal relationships and the gospel. Sometimes that happens. We get involved with people, and that personal relationship means so much to us that we would put that ahead of the gospel. We would put that ahead of this monumental event that took place at Calvary, the Lord Jesus giving his life. And you might say tonight, well, I had yesterday, and I had the day before, and I had the day before that. I've actually had a number of years, and tomorrow. We can go back to the scriptures and see a man that he said those exact same words. He said he was going to sit back, he was going to take his ease, he was going to be merry. He couldn't wait to go to bed that night. Do you know why? Because he couldn't wait to get up the next morning and a new day. Look around at all the stuff that he'd acquired. What that man didn't realize, while he had yesterday and he had the day before and he had the years before, one thing that that man did not have, and that was tomorrow. Tonight, that could be the case, because it's been the case for people today all across the world. They didn't have tomorrow. That's why this is something that is of utmost importance. It's never going to happen again. If you miss this event that happened once, and I can say this, it happened for you. The only way of escape. Don't miss it. We read in Matthew chapter 23. Something that happens often. And we're thankful for that. So far, up to this point in human history, gospel meetings have gone on. This could be the last gospel meeting that I ever take part in, that you ever hear. In those gospel meetings sometimes, and it's not confined to a gospel meeting, it can happen in other places. It can happen in your little bedroom when you're sitting there all alone. It can happen in the vehicle. It can happen at school. It can happen anywhere. But one of the things we're very thankful for is that while they're indifferent people, that means people that are just ignorant. It means people that are unaware. Maybe not paying any attention or recognizing at all. This big event that happened once, there's someone that actually really cares and really loves you. There's somebody that wants to see you saved, that wants to see you with him. You know one of the things that he's doing? He is using his word. He's using sometimes circumstances, life events, to speak to you, to wake you up, to make you realize that even though you're only young, you may not be here for very long. We don't know. That's reality. And he doesn't just do it once. He does it oftentimes. Just like these people, he said, how often would I have gathered thee together? I was spoken to often. You can probably go back through your life and think of different times whenever you said, you know what, I really need to be saved. And it maybe bothered you. Maybe it bothered you for weeks. Maybe it bothered you for a few days. That was God speaking. That was evidence of God's love towards you. And he does that often. With the end result in mind of having a positive response. With the end result in mind of you trusting him. God giving you promises. God giving you his word and him wanting you to trust him. That's what God wants. Tonight, one of the effects of being spoken to often. We can read about it in the Old Testament in Proverbs. It says that he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck. That means that whenever God speaks, you know, this happens at home sometimes. We speak so often to the kids. We repeat ourselves over and over and over again. A lot of times they say, well, I didn't hear you. Well, how could you not hear me? The kids say that I can be kind of loud sometimes. Yell, maybe. Maybe they'd go that far. But sometimes they don't pay any attention. They don't even notice. Why? Because we do it all the time. One of the effects of God speaking to individuals, speaking to you, is that you become hardened to it. Maybe something that bothered you at one time. You would actually go as far as to say tonight that, yeah, it doesn't really bother me as much as it did. I hope that's not the case, because you know something tonight? The danger hasn't changed any. The danger that you're in has not changed one bit. There's still hell, still the lake of fire, still punishment for sin. That hasn't changed an ounce. And yet you sit here as God has spoken to you often, and you haven't responded. The real danger that you're in is what we read in Revelation and what we read in Ecclesiastes, is that you were going somewhere, and what takes place there is ongoing. It's never going to end. That can take place in one of two places, in hell or in heaven. As you sit in your sins tonight, you are in danger of being in hell. And as it said there in Revelation, that the smoke of their torment just ascends up forever and ever. Do you know what I'll be happy for? Is whenever the day comes when we pay the last mortgage payment. And that's gone. We can see the end of it. And I'll be glad when that day comes. It must be a horrific thing whenever somebody loses their soul and they end up in hell. And while you and I, we can see the end of a payment schedule the bank puts in place, we never ever see the end of our punishment, the torment, the pain. For something that I could have in lifetime had an escape. God spoke to me often. It wasn't complicated. God spoke to me often, but that event that happened once, I didn't need a whole bunch of information. Just as the story was told about I think it was a Chinese man. I'm not going to tell the whole story, but Jonathan Procopio tells it, and all the man knew were just two things, that he was a sinner and that Jesus died for sinners. Jesus died for him. So it must be an awful thing for somebody to lose their soul and realize it's not payments I'm making. Every moment that goes by, it's not one moment closer I am to the end of this. It's not even the beginning. It never ends. It's ongoing. So just as I sit down, just think about those three very simple thoughts. Something that happened once, the death of the Lord Jesus, something that happens often, God speaking, and something that is ongoing. That's eternity.